Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. This week, Dr. Williams does a powerful follow-up to last week's message titled, Complete in Him by the Cross.
I don't forget where I came from. And the reason I don't forget it, because if it had not been for God brought me through where I came from, I wouldn't enjoy what I have now. Every time something happens to me and it's hard and difficult, I said to God, what is it you want me to learn from this? Because if I don't learn nothing, then I won't know how to handle the next problem. And so we are complete in Jesus.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 13 down through 15. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Will you please remain standing and turn with me, Brother Art, get your Bible. Turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. Verses 13 through 15. You got it, Brother?
Yeah, Brother.
Step to the microphone. Evangelist Art is going to lead us in the Bible reading. I hear you ask some questions. That's biblical.
That's right. Second chapter of Colossians.
He's going to. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 13 through 15. Colossians.
Yes, Colossians. And it reads...
Everybody have it? Now, when you're reading the Bible at unison, you read it like you do when you miss your team that lost the game. And you would say, oh, whatever. Brother Art got it.
And it reads, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that which against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Amen. From this, we're going to turn to part two of Complete in Him. Complete. My brothers and sisters, I want to express, members of this church, my deepest, most kind, humble thank you that I could ever say to you. All that you've done for 2017. Some of you have worked untiringly hours doing ministry for other people, which is a blessing for you. Many of you work without complaining.
Hallelujah.
Or mumbling, or got angry when I asked you to do two things, but I still appreciate you. I love you because some years ago, God first loved me. And so I owe this to say to you, I don't like to say too much about folks when they die. I want to tell you why you're living. Second, next year we would be working, all of you, we would be working on entirely going back to the church outreach evangelistic ministry. Amen. I met with someone this week and Well, they met with me. It was a couple of them. They got a whole lot going. When I said a lot going, I mean a lot. And it was one Caucasian man and two American men. And I was one of the American men. I don't know what you're talking about, Afro-America. I was born in Summit, Mississippi, America. And one of the things the Caucasian guy said to me was very touching. I had to catch myself, keep from breaking down. He says, come here. He said, we were standing just like this. He says, Pastor William, the thing that I love you so much, you never treat me like a white man. You treat me like a Christian. You missed it. You never treat me like what? But you treat me like what? And then when he got through that, he embraced me. That's real Christianity. Now you want to say, what is real Christian? That's real Christianity. There's nowhere Jesus looked over the shoulder of the Jews and rejected the Gentiles. That's not in the Bible. And the reason I'm bringing it up, because the message, you said, before you say it, the message, you wouldn't be able to enjoy Christmas if you weren't tied to Jesus. In Genesis, your brother disconnected you. I'm talking about your brother Adams. He disconnected you from God. And Jesus said, that's what the book says. Jesus said, when they was looking for somebody to go back down and reconnect us, couldn't find nobody. Enoch walked with God, but he didn't qualify. The famous faith of Abraham brought many nations on the planet of earth, but he didn't qualify. One of my favorite persons in the Bible, Isaiah, but he didn't qualify. And here my Jesus, he looked down, well, if you want me to go, prepare me a body that flows with what? Well, my body flows with blood. I don't know about yours. And I'd go and redeem man. That's what brought us back together to God. I was raised different from a lot of people. I was raised, I didn't really know, and I told you this before, I did not know I was poor until I left home on my own. I never thought about it. I had everything I needed, so what I'm worried about being poor? Ate what I wanted, and my mother bought us the best of clothes, and because she ran the house. My father ran outside, mother ran inside. And nobody in that house was grown but her and daddy. I told you my brother got a master's degree and thought he was smart. And my mama said to him, I take this skillet and I'll beat your brains out and bury you in the backyard and grow ton of greens on your grave. That's what Hilda said. And we was in the back room laughing. We had to be, because we couldn't let her see us laughing. And my child, my brother got so humble with a master's. Master's can get you in trouble. Never what you have or what you earn. It's what God can and has done for you. Because 90% of y'all in this church this morning are living in houses that wasn't built for you. And look what God did. And when I came to California, they was fighting on Florence. They didn't want American black folks to move out there. Are you listening to me? I don't forget where I came from. I don't forget that. And the reason I don't forget it, because if it had not been for God brought me through where I came from, I wouldn't enjoy what I have now. Every time something happens to me and it's hard and difficult, I said to God, God, what is it you want me to learn from this? Because if I don't learn nothing, then I won't know how to handle the next problem. And so we are, friends, we are complete in Jesus. I have been blessed to be accepted in 90% of the other denominations in this country. I have been. And the reason that I have, I said this to them and I said to you, don't tell me about being a Baptist. Ask me, am I saved? Nowhere on the cross it says Baptist exempts it. It says, whosoever will, let him come. I'm not only saved Baptist, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and he's guiding me, and I'm saved. My name is written in the book of the Lamb. I was washed clean with blood, and I'm going to heaven when it's all over. That's what's going to happen to me. And so when you look at it today, if you're not saved today, don't make jokes about it, because that might be somebody be your last day. If you're not saved and want to be complete, I keep telling couples, I just counseled a couple from Oakland. They don't belong to this church. And this man is just so thrilled. He said, well, I'm finally getting to be complete. Bless his poor heart. I said, no, brother, you're finally getting into something you can grow up. Real marriage will make you grow up. And A.V. said, you're sitting here like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're still growing. Some of you grew a little bit last night. You were dickering what's going to happen this morning. It's no such thing as a human being can take another human being and make him perfect. There's no such thing as that. You say, but I love them. See, love is like water. When you turn your faucet on, when you get tired of it, you can cut it off. And you're the one say you're in love. When you don't want to love, you don't have to tell me. When you don't want to love, you pretend you're sleepy. I'm talking reality. And then if you're not sleeping, you say, you know, I forgot to get my clothes out of the cleaner. I need to run to the cleaner. He's not going to no clean. He's getting some breaks. So don't mix love up with reality. They go together, but they don't have to. Amen. What's the word young folks use? I can't think of the word now. I had to ask them, what did that mean? They said, you have something. I forgot what it is. But I think of it. Some of you all know it, but you don't want to say it because it's real. It is, friends, when I begin the text again, in the text before us, the Apostle Paul reminds us of the day when Jesus hanged in the balance between heaven and earth. It is the day known as the crucifixion. As we take a close look at our text and discover what actually transpired at the cross, I believe that Paul declares, first of all, that at the cross, remember now, we were separated. But Paul gives it to us. He says, but at the cross, friends, Jesus, and I want you to listen, Jesus discarded sin. In verse 13, Paul graphically describes the awful condition of our past life. He says, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh. Listen, church. Here Paul describes the condition we found ourselves in before God reached down and saved us by his marvelous, amazing grace. He reached down and saved us. That's why you can't turn your nose up at other people. You was just as crooked as they were. But I didn't do all those bad things. And the reason you didn't, they had reasons. One, maybe you didn't have no money. Two, maybe you wasn't allowed to. Let me give you something that will help you. I had a friend was dating a young girl, and I was in that category once. And she wasn't allowed to go nowhere with that boy by herself. Nowhere. When they go someplace, the brother had to go with them. He was in the 12th grade. You know what happened to him and her? I don't know where they went. I don't know how they went. I just know when she got ready to graduate, they allowed her to. She was 3 months pregnant. Now don't put her down. Don't put her down. You can be so strict until even you get lost. Let people know what life is all about. Teach your children what life is about. They're talking all this mess now about the sex, what is it called? That folks are going through with the politicians and the business people. Sexual harassment. Let me throw one out to you. Before I came to California, I was harassed more than once. Nobody's talking about how I was harassed. That's right. I know you never had that, and that's your problem. I'm talking about what happened to me. And let me throw something else after you. Some of you all know this because you were with me. I was harassed about 3 months ago in the bank. A lady said, "You are some handsome." I said, "Thank you very much." And I said, "Well, I was cashing my donation." I said, "Is she looking at the donation or looking at me?" How many of you all, be honest before God, how many of you all males have been harassed? You're scared because your wife's sitting near you. I don't blame you. I wouldn't hold my hand up. It happens. The only reason I brought that up is because it's given, keep coming up in me. It's the difference in being harassed and being attacked. Just because somebody look at you and make remarks at you, you don't need to name it and claim it as harassed. Amen. And let me tell you something on your way to heaven if I don't finish today. As long as human beings is on earth, they're going to be sexual what? Harassed. Sexually harassed. That's right, and brothers, you ought to say amen.
Amen.
You can't help it. You have to work on it. You can't ever stop. Otherwise, you can't help it. If you stop, you're going to be lost. Your nature will never be saved. Well, I got saved, but your old nature didn't.
Right.
Well, I thought when I got saved, everything got saved. Oh, no. You got some things will never get saved. Yeah. Yeah. They're with you. What's your name?
Giles.
They're with Giles. And it will not get saved. You can sing hallelujah you want to. You can sing... Christ the Savior is born. He is, but everything you have is not going to get saved.
Right, right, right.
You get saved so you can control it. The Holy Spirit will help you control you if you want. And then while I'm on that, let me clarify something that is being taught. It's the biggest lie on earth. you want to give them, get, if God help you to love more, it's not going to happen. Tell God, I want to be able to get along with Charles Bell. It's not going to happen. Tell God, well, every time I see Charles, he get on my nerve, and God help me, it's not going to happen. You have been made by God. Come here, Lawson. And if we learn what the Bible said, we'll grow. This man can love me if he wants to. God's not going to make him love me. God just make him leave me alone. Don't bother me. But it's in him the sign. You ought to offer quiet. You say, but I love my wife so much I can't do without her. You lie. You have to make those choices. You want to get along with other people? Start here. I have to get along with Charles because he's my brother. Do I like all of his ways? No, that is not the issue. The issue is if I learn how to love him, I forget about his ways. I have some cousins in my family. They're so cheap until they don't even walk on dirt. They think they have to pay for it. One of them died not too long ago, well, about 2 years ago. He died. Very wealthy man. Brother Holloway, you know what? He died in June. Brother Holloway, in September, you know where his wife went? To Europe. He didn't go nowhere, Brother Holloway, but she went to Europe. You know how long she's gone, Brother Holloway? 6 weeks on her girlfriend. Now, you had to be careful. I don't know whether the girlfriend, who, I mean, well, a lady went with her. If we get to live biblically, we would be marvelously blessed. You have to decide, am I really going to follow Jesus? Then you make up your mind, he'll walk with you. The old folks' song used to sing, I want Jesus to walk with me. They knew they couldn't do it by themselves.
That's right. That's the word. Amen.
Amen.
That's the word.
I hear you say, well, I thought I was going to hear more about Christmas. You don't need Christmas. You need Jesus. Amen. First, here Paul described the condition I said he found ourselves in before God reached down and saved us. Listen, beloved, I don't need to tell you that before the cross, we were in a bad place and a tough predicament. First, church, there are two graphic words used by Paul to describe the condition of our past life. I hear people, I haven't been bad. I haven't did anything bad, so I don't have to worry about anything. You don't, because you're going to hell if you don't repent. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. The word sins in verse number 11, you see in your Bible, and trespasses, my friends, in this verse, in the Greek text, these two words come from, my friend, the same root word, and according to the Bible, speaks of the exact same thing. They denote deliberately, friends, acts of sin, where we deliberate, my friends, to choose to deviate from the path of righteousness God had set before us. God gives us plain English what's right and what's wrong. Amen. It is as if God has set forth boundaries that must not be violated. Church, but we in our condition deliberately and in the intentionally deviate from those boundaries. Let me give you what I mean by the boundary. Let me give you what. Okay, you're going to dinner this evening or tomorrow. The boundary for you is, give me that bottle, will you please? You have boundaries. You go in there and say, I'm going to serve you the drinks. What do you want? Iced tea or water? Or soda? You can't say, well, nobody here. I'm going to get me a good glass of wine. It's no such thing as nobody here. Everywhere you move, God is there. Everywhere. Now, I want to tell you this, and I want you to take it home with you. Take this home with you because you're missing something. Be careful when you talk too much. What you say, listen carefully. What Charles says and me and anybody else, it's being recorded by God and Satan. You wouldn't be in a lot of trouble if you wouldn't watch what you said. But I'm grown. Nobody can tell me nothing. The devil can beat you. When he gets to wearing you out and you can't sleep for 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 nights, you'll be careful what you say. I don't wish nothing on nobody bad because I don't want the devil to hear me say it. He'll help me to build it up and carry it out. And if I'm going to build stuff against people, then God is going to help me. He's not going to bypass my evilness and bless me. That's not in the Bible. Nobody shall see God but who? The pure in heart. The righteous. You say, but they make me angry. You can control it if you want to. Nobody can make you do anything you can't control. But you have to be willing and open to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you not know if you wasn't willing, you wouldn't be here this morning? But you're willing and God gave you strength. I can see Percy turning over now. But I got to go. And since he got here, he feels just a little bit better.
Amen.
Amen. Let's push it. Church, the tragedy reserves is that we were dead in our sin. And so in our innate nature, we were in a condition, my friend, so difficult that we were like dead men walking at one time. Church, and we were helpless to do anything about our conditions. The word dead describes something or someone who is totally and completely helpless. The tragedy of a dead person is that they cannot do anything to change their condition. Church, I have performed so many funerals and homegoing during my years of ministry. I have noticed one thing that every one of those funerals had in common, and that is the person who had passed on was totally helpless. Friend, then, as I noticed, their hair may be rough, their tie may be crooked, and there may be some blemish on their face. But the reality is that they cannot do one thing to change their condition. Amen. Because they are dead. That's why I can shout today. I died once. And Ephraim won't die no more. When I have finished my course, I'm either going to sleep away or take a nap and won't wake up. I'm going to slide out of earth, and not in heaven, but in the presence of God. Amen. I can't die again. I just slip away. You said, I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. What the Bible said, and I believe the Bible. And that's why when you're saved, you don't have to worry about it. God will help you to make the transition smooth. Amen. You said, but they have a lot of pain. That's the body. But the real you is not. Amen. You know this is not the real you, right? Well, if you don't, I'll tell you. The real you is inside of you. Amen. Paul uses the word dead to remind us of our helpless condition before we were saved. However, our condition was not only a helpless condition, but a hopeless condition. Church, in verse number 11, Paul speaks in depth of the matter of circumcision. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Amen. I'm happy. There was a on television one night some time ago, I was watching some program that deals with weight. And some come on, they lose. Some win. So when it was all over, the group, two of them left because they lost. And one of them said on their way out, says, well, this is the old me. But when I come back, it's going to be the new me. And I won't lose nothing. You listening? You are now who are born again. You are the new you. Not the old you. So that's why you labor in the word. So you'll always have some help. Amen. I was awakened this morning, something to fire. And when I certain things, I knew then something was going to happen. Death. I got a call at 8 o'clock. Cuba's brother died. It happens to me often. But the reason I'm not afraid, because he promised me he'll be with me. So I was awakened so I wouldn't be shocked when I hear. I'd just be prayerful. Let me tell you something today. Every time we had a business meeting in this church, if Lamont was here, I'd have him to stand. I said, Lamont, we have 5 people this time confused. Every time, if I said 7, that's what we had. And it's amazing how people can become confused when it comes to numbers. I had 4 years of administration training. I can look at numbers one time and know how they work. But if you're not used to budgets, you don't know how they work. My budget now, I live on an 80% budget. I don't have to do that. But I do that because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I make sure that I monitor how I live. Amen. Then I got all of those grasshoppers behind me. Grandkids and great-grandkids. And I have to make sure that something is left. If it's not much, they at least have somewhere to stay. And they all can't stay in my house. They can sleep in the garage. At least they have a roof over their heads. All that's under the oxen and the book of Proverbs to the family. Any man tell me he's not trying to leave nothing for his family, He is mentally unbalanced. He is asked by God to leave something. You see, he didn't do what I told him. You didn't do what God told you either. Match it up. Amen. So friends, listen. I've read so many commentators who have, my friends, who felt that this was a subject out of its context. And why would Paul describe our hopelessness condition by comparing it of being uncircumcised? Why would he do that? Well, the book will tell you why. Amen. The book will tell us that Paul did it. Simply, he is referring back to an Old Testament Jewish covenant that God had made with Abraham in Genesis 17. In Ephesians 2 and 12, we are again reminded of it when Paul says that as Gentiles, we were called the uncircumcised, and he saved us. He says, at the time, without Christ, we were alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We have hope today. Oh, it looks dark and gloomy, but we still have hope. As long as Jesus is on the throne, we have hope. And let me point something out to you. When Jesus died, or rather, when Stephen was stoned by some Baptist people, Jesus was sitting down in heaven. But when his servant was being stoned, he got up. You know why he got up? That was one of his sons. And to make sure you understand that, when that happened, what did the man that was stoned, what did he do? He asked God, that's what you have to do. He said, Lord, forgive them. They stoned him, but he knew he was saved, because his Savior got up, and he was gonna change some stuff. But when he made a plea, he had mercy on them. Amen. Amen. I went to the jail to see a man, and they said to me, "You can't come. You can't see him. He's not allowed to have no visitors." I said, "Well, thank you very much." I had got a card from the right source. I said, this is my entrance card, so maybe you won't take a look at it." He looked at it. He said, "Oh, you didn't tell me that. I had rites of passage inside of the jail. I've been saved. I have the right passes on my way to the kingdom land. And when I need some help, I got sense enough to call him. I'm not ashamed to call him and tell him, Lord, you know what my conditions are, and I'm down here waiting on you to make a move." Every now and then someone comes up. I've lived it. And you can live it. Man, somebody worked for me some years ago, and he said, "I'm going to leave because you work too hard and you expect for me to work just like you." I said, "Well, I think you drove. If you drove here, you know how to drive away. We haven't shut down. We still operating, because I wasn't operating on him in the first place. God got to be the main source." Amen. 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 I ride with people, and sometimes they say, I think we passed the stop. We passed the street. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just riding. You are in charge. That's what happened to real life. When you let God be in charge, things changes. Amen. They changes. The reason that Sunday school in this church is down is because 95% of it is the teacher's fault. You can shoot at me if you want to. When your students start dropping off, you didn't follow up on them. But when you talk to God and then call them up, they'll respond to you. I know I'm right because I've been through it. Amen. Church, I'm not going to finish today. Just like he saved us. Some of you here today, you know you're not saved. Why don't you surrender to him? Friends? But watch this. Notice in verse 13. Paul describes what Jesus did with our bad, helpless, and hopeless condition. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you, listen carefully, forgiven you all trespasses. Not some, but all. Amen. Amen. Who were separated, isolated, and alienated from God by our sin. We have now been forgiven of all trespasses. Everything has been forgiven. That ought to shout somebody right now that you used to be miserable, but every now and then you have joy in your soul. That's a shouting time. The man said to me, Pastor Weaver, how do you feel as a pastor and a man jumps up and clap your hands and move around? How you feel with that? Oh, I said, I feel like I'm on the edge of heaven. He said, I don't think I can do that. I said, no, you can't. And I can. But who's in me, I can. You see, every now and then, I don't care how stiff Giles is, look this way. Every now and then, when the Spirit moves on him, it doesn't move here, it moves here, up here. When he knows anything, he's up buck dancing. Not that he wants to, but he can't help it. The Holy Spirit does not deal with you because you are male. He deals with you because you're saved or trying to get you saved. Being a male has nothing to do with you praising God. In fact, you ought to really praise him if you are a real male, because now they're mixed up. Friend, we are one with him. You in the body of Christ, you are one. You can't be in the body of Christ and hate the body. No, sir. The body grows. It grows. Here's Charles. And then I'll have to close. Here's Charles. He's been knowing me since he was young. Now he's old, but I never forsaked him yet. Church, the same sermon I'm preaching to you now. Charles, would you tell him you heard it when 30 years ago? If you don't walk with him, you won't get to know him. You can talk all you want to, sing all you want to, talk all this jive you want to. You got to get, what color is these flowers? I don't care what you say, they're not going to turn white. So when you get to know God, the more you get to know him, the more he reveals himself to you. You don't know what, why didn't I think of that? I'll give you something very simple. I changed clothes and misplaced my wallet. Couldn't find it. I didn't worry about it. I just went on doing what I was doing. I said, now, Lord, you know I had it. Now I can't find it. So help me to find it. And I'm not worried because I know you'll help me. I didn't find it that day. I didn't find it that night, but the next morning, when I went to change clothes, the wallet was on the floor by the chair. Right in front of me, and I passed it. You know what happened? Not me. The Spirit brought it back to me. You say, I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe in. I'll tell you what really happens. Amen. And the reason that you can say you don't believe it, because it never happened. Amen. Now let me testify. Brother Holloway, I need you to come out here. Let me testify. I want you to listen. Because you don't, you miss something. I understand. When I came to this church, not this church, but the other building, here he is. After I was there 3 months, I said, talk to the deacons. I said, now, we got to remodel. We got to remodel the floors. We got to remodel the building. Somebody said, we don't have no money. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything about no money. I just said, we had to remodel. We started. I said, we got to get an air conditioner. I can't take water coolers because I have allergy problems. All kinds of, nothing bad. People were wondering where we're going to get the money from. Here he is. Ask them. I never beg you for no money. Never. I said, all we need to do is talk to him. I appreciate that here. Stand up, Manny. You came after I did. Come stand up. Stand up. Let me see your purse, Manny. Oh my God, you got all that money in there? What happened was, you got to learn to listen to him. The reason I didn't talk about no money, he didn't tell me that. He said, you need to remodel this building. So on the outside, they said, paint. I said, no, we don't want to paint it. We stucco. Is that the correct word? Oh, the whole building. And the reason I didn't ask for no money, God didn't tell me. Because the money is in here. He got a lot in here, whatever's in here. Y'all need to help her. She got too much in here. It's too much. It's heavy. Oh, my God. So what happens, we who are saved, ladies, listen, men the same way. We who are saved, it's our responsibility to make sure everything is nice. Amen. You say, but we don't need all of that. I do. I don't want to go to no church look like it's in the grasshopper field. It ought to look like God's house. Not only did we remodel it, we added to it. Then when we outgrew it, look where we are now. And the reason we're here now, because a large percentage of you trusted God. Amen. When we made the announcement, I'm just testifying. We made the announcement. The note was $30,000. I said, no, we want to raise it to, we want to pay $40,000. Well, so we made a deal with the bank. They gave us a discount. You paid $42,500 a month on this building. But, Miss Winnie, you owe some money now. You know that. But we saved like $100,000. We saved $1 million. See, you all don't believe this. God is not all spiritual. He's spiritual, and he wants us to be financially spiritual. That money you got is not your money. So when you don't give him his, some people give all over the country and don't take care of their own church. I don't give. You know, I pay my tithes. I give missions. Any other program they have, I give. Check the record. You know why? I'm obligated at home first. Not somewhere else. Percy, stand up. I've had so many appointments this year. There he is. They had to cancel them. I couldn't take care of all of them. Home comes first. If I'm honest to God at home, if I'm honest, he'll make a way. I don't care what you tell me. He'll make a way. And when as long as I'm passing the St. Paul, it's going to look nice if I have to take your money myself. We cannot look like some boogie-woogie jugadado. We got to look like we are Christian walking with God. If we are complete in him, it works. I came here in May, and in the end of July, we sold our last chicken dinner. I think Brother Holloway was one of the happiest ones. And people cussed me out privately. We've been selling chicken dinner for 40 years. That's your business. Eva not selling any. I'm born again, got a job working, and don't give God my tithes and telling him I'm going to sell some dinner to rip somebody off because the dinner wasn't good in the first place. And Miss William wasn't going in no bar, selling no dinner in no barbershop because they said, if you buy your dinner, what I'm going to buy your dinner, what I'm going to buy from you? I don't believe in it. I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. I just say I don't believe in it. I just thought I'd testify because it's getting to Christmas. Amen. There's not one thing I've asked God for that he didn't guide me. Not one. Always. It didn't come right away, but it came. Amen. 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 This is, I'm through with the last testimony. Many, I got a letter. Tuesday, 4 years ago.